Ma'ir. Unto me. Samarabhya. Having become angry. Tripula. Unlimited. Madat. Out of illusion. Shapam. Curse. Dushaham. Unbearable. Statum arhasi. You may remain. Na. Never. Ekatra. In one place. Mat. My. Yachna. Request. Vimukaha. Having refused. Mune. O great sage. The great sage Narada continued, when I refused to accept her request, she became very angry at me and cursed me severely. Because I refused her request, she said that I would not be able to stay in one place for a long time. So you can repeat, the great sage Narada continued. When I refused to accept her request,
she became very angry at me.
And cursed me severely.
Because I refused her request.
She said that I would not be able
to stay in one place for a long time.
So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The great sage Narada Muni has a spiritual body. Therefore, old age, disease, birth, and death do not affect him. Narada is the most kind devotee of the Supreme Lord, and his only business is to travel all over the universe and preach God consciousness. In other words, his business is to make everyone a Vaishnava. Under the circumstances, there is ordinarily no need for him to stay in one place for more than the time he requires to preach. Since by his own free will, he is already traveling all over the universe. The curse of Kalakanya is described as fortunate. Like Narada Muni, many other devotees of the Lord are engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord in different places and in different universes. Such personalities are beyond the jurisdiction of material laws. So, Mayi Samdabhya Vipula Madachapam Sudusaham Statamarasi Naikatra Madhyachna Vimukho Mune. So. Alright. Umagana Tivarandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuna Midi Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Okay. So, first thing is that this Kala Kanya, Kala means, of course, time, and Kanya means girl or young girl, Kanya. Raki means unmarried girl. So, time girl. So, time girl is getting angry because she's frustrated. And this is where anger comes from. Of course, Krishna describes this in the second chapter of the Gita. I think you're all familiar with that. Jayato Vishyakpum Sam Sango Stasha Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kama Krota Vijayate. I'm sure everyone knows that verse, right? From contemplating sense objects, attachment develops. From attachment comes lust, and lust comes good old anger. So we find that when things don't function according to the way we desire, we get angry. Not only in regard to this man-woman type of stuff, but just the whole idea of, you know, controlling things in this world. And I see myself that sometimes I'm doing something and the computer does something that I don't like, or even something's my fault. And let's say I knock something off the shelf by accident, I get angry. I say, who gave you permission to do this? You know, it's just like the thing is a person, and I'm getting angry at that thing, which is really unintelligent and illogical. to get angry at an inanimate object, isn't it? When we find ourselves getting angry, you know, at a car when it doesn't start or something like that, you know, or even at the body when it doesn't function according to the way we would like it to function, or if someone doesn't cooperate the way we'd like to have them cooperate. Our concept of cooperation is you have to cooperate with me. It means you have to do what I say. That's it. In ISKCON, the word cooperate is a fancy word for do what I say. Actually, although the word cooperate means cooperate, you know, to work with someone else. Although, so we say, you never cooperate with me. That means you don't listen to what I say. So the word cooperate in ISKCON is misused, misunderstood. Okay. So anyway, this anger arises, and when we get angry, we can do all sorts of things. In abusive relationships, people physically hit people, or they curse people, or they say nasty things to people, use four-letter words. All these things occur due to anger, due to frustration. So devotee sometimes becomes subjected to this. And a devotee gets cursed, like Narada Muni is getting cursed here. But the curse for a devotee takes it as Krishna doing it. And Krishna has some plan. When he gets cursed or some unfortunate thing happens, he sees Krishna behind it. Just like that story of Dharma the Bull, when he was being beaten by the personality of Kali. Kali wasn't cursing him, he was beating him. Dharma saw that it was Krishna. The time factor in Krishna, and that there was some purpose behind the whole thing. And another verse from the Bhagavatam is Tatena Kampam Sucha Mikshamana Bhunjana Bhatma Kratam Vipakam Ridbhag Vapuravir Vidadan Namaste Jiveta Yo Mukti Pade Siddhaya Bhak. That when one is subjected to some unfortunate, painful, disturbing, negative experience, that is the test to see whether he's actually sincere in Krishna consciousness. Because if someone is actually sincere in Krishna consciousness, then Ridvad Bapurve Vratadam Namaste, they'll go on serving Krishna with their heart, their body, and their words. Rid, that means heart. Vag means words. Vak, Vag. Vapur, like Vapu, that means body. They'll go on serving the Lord. Regardless of that, enthusiastically, because that means from one's heart. And jiveta yo mukti pade siddhaya bhak. And that's really, if you pass that test, you become qualified to go back to Godhead. That's part of devotional service that is, just like we hear, ahaituki apretiyata yatma supersedite, savai punsam paro dharma yato bhakti yat hoksaje. Ahaituki apretiyata. So these two words. Ahaituki means there's no cause for no material cause for devotional service. You're not doing devotional service because you're getting money for it. You're not doing devotional service. That's a big discussion right now on the internet. We're having it in the GBC conferences. Like, it's called wages for sages. They have all these funny expressions, you know, wages for sages. You know, should we be hiring people to do devotional service? And it's a very controversial subject matter because Prabhupada himself said no. I mean, it shouldn't be so. Especially in Los Angeles, Prabhupada said no, you shouldn't be paying salaries. Of course, we should maintain devotees, but salaries is a different thing. So anyway, I don't want to get into that subject matter. So that's a haitaki. There's no cause, material cause. And what we're talking about today is a pratyata. Nothing stops it. No material situation stops one's devotional service. In fact, as they say in America, when Krishna gives you a lemon, you make lemonade from it. Because they don't say Krishna. They say when life gives you a lemon, you make lemonade. In other words, the devotee sees whatever happens and takes it as an impetus to further advance in devotional service. And even though he may not understand why a particular thing is happening in a particular instance, what do they say? Hindsight is always 20/20. They can look back like 40 years afterwards and say, that's why Krishna did that. That's why Krishna arranged it. And so, I was thinking about that in regard to other curses, because here this particular verse and purport are dealing with curses. So in the Mahabharata, we have it, and the Ramayana, of course, we have a number of curses that appear to be very unfortunate, but they actually were part of the Lord's plan to carry out his pastimes. And in the Mahabharata, you have Pandu being cursed. Pandu, of course, is the father of the Pandavas. At least he was married to Kunti and Madri. So, Pandu, he was out in the forest one day and he was practicing his archery. And one of the things you do when you're practicing archery, you're supposed to be able to shoot, shoot basically in the dark or the sound vibrations like that. So he shot from a very, very long distance at these two, what he thought were two deers that were mating. Actually, they weren't two deer, or two deers, or whatever the plural is. He was shooting at the Rishi Kindaman, the Rishi Kindaman's wife, because they were so renounced, basically they weren't attracted to each other. They were just like, performing so much austerity, so they thought the only way we could become attracted to each other is to take the form of deer. And so they took the form of deer, and they were shot by Pandu, and as a result, Hare Krishna, as a result, Pandu was cursed as they were dying, and he was cursed to not be able to have any relationship with his wife. If he had any relationship or tried to have a relationship with either one of his two wives, he would die immediately. And so that appears to be very, very unfortunate, isn't it? Negative thing. But had that curse not taken place, then Kunti would have not called for the demigods to have children. Like she called for Yamaraj, for Yudhisthira, and Vayu for Bhimsain, and Indra for Arjuna, and the Ashwini Kumaras for Nakula and Sahadev. And then she just would have had, like, I wouldn't say ordinary children, but, Pandu's kids. And they wouldn't have been so extraordinary with so much power as the Pandavas had. Right? I mean, you wouldn't have had, like, Bhimsain, who was just, like, so powerful, he would put Superman to shame. Isn't it? I mean, just, like, he's so powerful. He could jump in the air, fly in the air, lift all buildings, whatever. The real superhero. It's like I have one disciple who goes around wearing shirts of different superheroes, even dressing up and going to the comic, what's called Comic-Con. Anyone's here heard of Comic-Con? It's once a year they have a meeting in Los Angeles of all the people interested in superheroes and comics, and all the people dress up as all these superheroes. And so he went there and dressed up. I don't know which superhero. Probably Captain America. So Bhimsain is the greatest superhero. Of course, Krishna is even greater. We understand that. So you see that curse was actually part of Krishna's plan. However, it would have been impossible for Pandu to understand it when it happened, right? Why is Krishna cursing me, he must have thought, or why am I being cursed by this sage? Why has Krishna arranged such a thing? Because, I'm in love with my wives. What am I supposed to do about it? It was definitely a frustrating experience, isn't it, for him? And then in the Ramayana, of course, we have the curse. Dasaraj is cursed because he kills this young sage. This young sage was taking care of his Brahmin parents who happened to be blind. And he was getting water for them. And Dasaraj, using the sound vibration, because he thought it was a deer drinking water. I personally, I have a problem with Kshatriyas killing deer. that's neither here nor there, but I have a problem with that. But I guess they had to do it, you know, to practice, but I still don't like it. And it's described that they had to suffer because of that later on. You'll read about that, the Bhagavatam. So he thought it was a deer drinking water, but it was this boy filling this water pot so that he could bring water back to his blind parents. And so he shot at that, at the sound, and hit the boy, and the boy was dying, and he actually pulled the arrow out of the boy, and that causes someone to die sooner. So if you ever shoot someone with an arrow, be careful. Don't pull it out until he's at the hospital, right? Because it causes the person to bleed more, because it rips the skin. So anyway, the boy died, and the parents came. He looked for the parents, actually. And he explained what had happened. It was an accident, and the parents got so upset with him that they cursed him to die feeling separation from his son. And they died. Of course, they jumped on the funeral pyre of the son, and they left their bodies along with their son. So that appears a very unfortunate thing. Very unfortunate to happen. And yet, it was part of the Lord's plan, right? Because had that not happened, then there wouldn't have been that whole exchange of Dasarath leaving his body and Ramchandra taking over and Lord Ramchandra being banned to the forest. All those other things would not have occurred had not this curse. So it fits in. It's like a puzzle. How things fit in. Just like in the GBC meeting, we were putting together puzzles. Don't ask me why. No, it's a team building exercise. So we all work together on these giant puzzles. I mean, don't ask me whether it was nice or bad, but it was fun. But so we had to, each team, we had about 8 teams, and we were given a whole bunch of puzzle pieces to put together, and then we discovered that we didn't have the right puzzle piece to put together our puzzle. You know, we had the basic picture of what the puzzle would look like when it was finished. But we didn't. We had maybe a few pieces from that puzzle. And so we had to figure out how to get more pieces for our puzzle and go around the room and share, you know, get pieces from other people and give them our pieces so they can complete their puzzles. Anyway, whatever. It was fun. I don't know if it was useful, but it was fun. Because I haven't put together puzzles since I've been a kid. So it's something like that. You got all these puzzle pieces. You don't know exactly where they fit. But when the puzzle goes together, then you really know where each piece fits. Does everybody understand the example I'm giving? Mm-hmm. So it's like these things happen, and you don't know really where it fits in your life. You know, why did that happen? I mean, and sometimes we even say, what? Life is not, it's not fair. It's not fair. I didn't do it, or, you know, I'm innocent. And you may be innocent. It's like I had a funny experience when I was a young brahmachari that I was with a sannyasi who would chastise me. And I said, I'm innocent. And he said, you're not innocent. You came to the material world. Even if you didn't do this particular thing, you're guilty. I'm still traumatized due to that. So it's a fact. Anyway, so it's not a question of innocence or guilt. Sometimes we feel like that life is not fair. I mean, this happens sometimes. Your life is not fair. Why do I have all these impediments? And it's unjust. It's unjust. I mean, look at this other devotee. He has this facility, that facility, so much facility. And look at me. I'm stuck here in this body. I'm stuck here in this situation. You know, so it's not actually unfair. Of course, material fairness we can't expect in Krishna consciousness. But Krishna's doing whatever is best for our own spiritual advancement. This is a fact. So, basically, let's see, more stories about curses? Yeah, there were actually more stories about curses that illustrate the same point. Lord Chaitanya was also cursed when there was a personality, some Brahmin, who could not come into the Shiva Sangam, where the kirtan was going on, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cursed to be locked out of his house. Because this man was locked out of Shiva Sangam. He couldn't attend the kirtan, so Lord Chaitanya was cursed to be locked out of his house, and Lord Chaitanya took that as a benediction, and therefore he took sannyas. So there's another curse. Prabhupada mentioned that he was cursed by his disciples' parents to be able to continually travel, not have any place of residence, and Prabhupada said that he transfers that curse to his disciples to preach Krishna consciousness. So many examples of curses. Oh yeah, here's another one. This is really interesting. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is Lord Nityananda cursing. There was a story when the devotees would regularly go to Jagannath Puri for the Chaturmash period to associate with Lord Chaitanya. Shivananda Sen would take care of all the necessities of the devotees. And that meant paying taxes. There were tax collectors there in India. The tax collectors don't turn in the money to the government. They keep it for themselves. I don't know if anyone's seen that on the road. Sometimes they'll stop you and say, you have to pay taxes. And they used to do that between Radhakund and the other areas of Govardhan. So, anyway, so he had to pay the taxes one time. And he was left behind paying the taxes while the devotees proceeded. And he didn't or wasn't able to arrange the prasadam in a timely fashion, at least according to how it was usually arranged. So, therefore, the sleeping places for the devotees. And Lord Nityananda, he said, I'm so hungry and that Shivananda Sen has not come back. And he said, I curse his sons to die. So, of course, Shivananda Sen's wife, she did what comes naturally. She started crying like anything. And so what happened is Shivananda Sen eventually came back, and she was crying. She said, what are you crying for? He said, she said, he cursed our sons to die. And Shivananda Sen, being so humble, said, because we have caused some inconvenience or this inconvenience for Lord Nityananda, that curse is perfectly appropriate. Of course, I'm paraphrasing the whole thing. You know, that's real surrender. And then he went to Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda kicked him because he was so angry. Of course, this is a pastime. It's not that Lord Nityananda is a material body and his blood sugar is so low that, you know, just like that, if we have a material body, we don't eat at the right time, the blood sugar goes down, we get angry. I've seen this. That's why I like to talk to people after they eat, not before they eat. So it was a pastime. You know, it was an arrangement of the Lord. So Shivananda Sen kicked him. And instead of getting angry, obviously if someone kicks you, you usually get a little angry, right? I mean, someone kicks me, I would certainly get angry at them. Of course, if Prabhupada kicked me, I'd be extremely happy. So he was very happy. He said, oh, I've gotten mercy. And Lord Nityananda was very pleased. However, his nephew, Srikanta Sen, got very upset with this. And he went to Lord Chaitanya to complain about what Lord Nityananda had done. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He went to Lord, he just proceeded directly to Lord Chaitanya before all the devotees. They were still on the road. And he was going to say this, Lord Nityananda, he has done something so inappropriate. He was hungry. And because he was hungry, he didn't get his food on time. He kicked my uncle. This is horrible. So he was just in a really upset frame of mind. So he went to Lord Chaitanya. He didn't even dress appropriately to see Lord Chaitanya. He had like a shirt coat on. And Swarup Damodar said, you know, first you should, you know, take off your shirt coat, you know, there's like some sort of coat or something like that, when you see Lord Chaitanya, because it's described when the men go on the altar and they're supposed to wear shirts. So, but Lord Chaitanya understood his frame of consciousness, his frame of mind, that he was upset. And he said, no, he has come here in an upset mind. Just leave him alone. And because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had understood what had happened and that Srikanta Sen was upset, then Srikanta Sen calmed down at that particular point. It was interesting because he had that empathy. Because he was empathic with his frame of consciousness, with his emotional state at that time, he calmed down. So that's also a lesson for us, that if you're actually empathic with someone, it's not always necessary for them to say what they want to say or intended to say. It's just you understand. He understood his emotional state. This is an instance of Lord Chaitanya utilizing empathic communication. So, anyway, so the point is that that's an instance of Lord Nityananda cursing, and a devotee took it very, very nicely. So what does that mean for us? That means, basically, as I mentioned before, when things happen that we're not happy with, whether we're cursed, I mean, I don't think I've been cursed too many times. That hasn't been a problem for me. But when things happen that we don't like, we understand that it's Krishna's arrangement. When things happen that we do like, it's Krishna's arrangement. And then we act accordingly and continue serving Krishna enthusiastically, even utilizing that particular circumstance or that particular curse or that particular problem in order to advance further in devotional service. And you see this with advanced devotees when they have some physical difficulty or ailment or terminal illness even. They utilize that in order to either preach Krishna consciousness or to make themselves more Krishna conscious, like Maharaj Kadvanga. Maharaj Kadvanga, he wasn't exactly cursed, but he wanted to find out when he was going to die. He fought for the demigods, and after he fought for the demigods were very pleased and said, ask for benediction. And the benediction he asked for was to know when he was going to die. And that's a good benediction to have, to actually know when you're going to die. None of us know when we're going to die right now. I mean, we may go to the best astrologer in the world, but the astrologer is not going to tell us when we're going to die. So wouldn't that be good to know that you're going to die? You know, die in, you know, 5 days and 55 minutes and 10 seconds, you know, that's a wonderful benediction. So he took that, so the demigod said, you're going to die in a few seconds. They looked at their watches and said, you know, pretty soon, you know, immediately you're going to die. So he took that as a benediction. He went down to the earth planet. He didn't try to counteract it. He went down to the earth planet, and what did he do? He took shelter of Krishna, chanted his 16 rounds or 64 rounds or whatever he chanted, and then he went back to Godhead. And it's very similar to Maharaj Parikshit's story. Parikshit Maharaj could have counteracted the curse by Sringi, the Brahmin boy, the unqualified Brahmabandhu Brahmin boy. He could have counteracted that. But instead, what did he do? He accepted it, and he just made plans. Now I know I'm going to die. This curse is a benediction. It gives me an opportunity to become Krishna conscious. So he immediately went to the sages and asked them, you know, what's the duty at the time of death? What should, you know, what should I do? And they didn't know. You know, they all had different opinions. That's interesting. It'd be like going to all the different priests or ministers or rabbis here in Hillsboro or in North Carolina. You know, you go to your neighbor, say, I'm going to die in 2 weeks, and then actually 7 days from Maharaj Pariksha. Like if you went to a minister, I'm going to die in 7 days, they would probably say, have you done your will yet? Have you done your health care, power of attorney, and everything like that? That's probably what they would say. Have you said goodbye to your relatives? You know, that's usually, isn't it? Say goodbye, you know, gather your family and say your last goodbyes. That's probably what they would advise, if I think about it. you know, call your family from all over. Oh, little Petunia, it's been good knowing you. Oh, George. Oh, Herman. Oh, Daddy, you know, and say goodbye to them. But, so there were all these different opinions that the sages had. Because I guess there were some, like, Christians and Jewish sages there at Maharaj Brikshit's. Not really. But they had all these different opinions. And until Shukadeva Goswami came, you know, it was just very confusing for Maharaj Brikshit. And so Shukadeva Goswami very cleared it up very nicely that your duty at the time of death is to hear and chant about Krishna. Because he asked the sages all these questions. And Shukadeva Goswami was able to answer them very, very nicely. Mm. And also there's the questions that were asked by Shonaka Rishi asked them of Suta Goswami, which occurred later after the recitation of the Bhagavatam by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Pariksit. Anyway, so therefore we take everything as a benediction. Everything is a benediction for a devotee. There's nothing unfortunate. Even if you have Rahu or going through your Saturn period, it's a benediction. It helps you become, just like a few years ago, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe four, but Pallad Nandamara, as you know some astrology, he told me you're going to go through this period where things are going to get tough for you. You know, you're going to have to become more austere. And that's basically when I changed my diet and became more healthy. So, Hare Krishna. So, any questions or comments? Yeah.
I was just curious if a thought came to mind that the challenges and the difficulties that come to us or Krishna's name, that really all of that could take shelter to prepare us for the time.
Yeah, because things get really confusing then. I mean, you think you're confused now, but the time of death, wow. You know, it's just like, you know, now what do we worry about? You know, what type of car to get, or where to stay, put our bodies at night, or isn't it, you know, just, but, you know, the time of death, it's, you know, just like, you know, in my mind, I'm worried about, you know, what am I going to cook tonight? Well, not, I know what I'm going to cook, I cook the same thing, but how are we going to make sure all the devotees know how to cook properly for me? You know, things like that go in your mind. All these little inconsequential, comparatively inconsequential things, you know. Oh, does no one loves me? Or, you know, whatever. You know, whatever, all this stuff goes through our minds. But, you know, the real serious stuff is, you know, what are we going to do at the time of death? And really we don't know, because we may think I'm all prepared, I'm a devotee, but when it actually comes down to it, when the rubber hits the road, when it comes down to it, we don't know how we're going to react. You know, if I say to you, you know, you got basically 2 days to live, Gopi. I mean, now we're just joking, you don't know what's going to happen, but if it actually, you just give them 2 days, you don't know how you would react. So life is quite serious like that. Although we take the things that are not so serious as serious, and the things that are extremely serious, we forget about them because ahani hani bhutani gachanti malayam. We think we're not going to die. That's the most wonderful thing. I mean, we don't actually think, I mean, I don't think I'm going to die. I think for the next 5,000 years I'm going to be sitting here giving class, you know, like this. And I'm going to be able to enjoy all the newest technological wonders as society progresses. You know, so, you know, that's what I'm thinking, but it's Maya. That's the most wonderful thing, according to the Srimad Mahabharata, sorry, is that we're seeing everybody else die, but we're thinking it's not going to happen to me. That's the real serious thing about life. These other things, you know, they may be serious, but not as serious. Okay. On that happy note about death.